Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless for the next, well, most of this hour, you know, and then we'll head off into the weekend, get your Red Rivalry party tomorrow at downtown Dallas there at the hotel. Looking forward to seeing you out there for our pool party, watch party. Going to have the big screens going. It's going to be a time. Highland Hotel 2 to 6. Tomorrow, get your flags there and... Early in the morning, Mansfield Hurtado 10 to 10:30, Fort Worth Hurtado 11:30 to noon. So you know we're going to have a heck of a barbecue feast at the Dawson household, and invite you to join me out there at Hurtado. Pick up your 2025 G-Bag Nation flag. Many are saying it is the best G-Bag Nation flag ever.
Many people.
Echoing the sentiment, and you know I agree. I think, you know, every year we look for some creative way of redoing it. We've done Cowboys themes. We've done Rangers themes. We've done, you know, a Tolo flag, a camo flag, all sorts of color combinations. And it's amazing that we never had done the Texas State flag theme. But now that we have, it seems destined. It seems fated. And if you don't get one this year, we might have to bring it back next year. It is that damn good. All righty. Red River storylines ahead of tomorrow's kickoff. Mateer upgraded to probable. I mean, I think he's going to play. Brian, what if I told you I think his decision to play, he's trying to be the hero. It's ultimately going to cost OU in the form of turnovers. Longhorns win this game.
Yeah, I think, you know, Texas is really like the desperate team in this one. They're Chip Brown, who we had on early, he's absolutely right. Their playoff season is on the line here right now with this. And, you know, defensively, they've got to show up. They didn't show up last week against Florida. You know, in these rivalry games, the way they are, the emotions, I admire him for trying to go out there and play. We'll see how it all works out with the grip strength, his ability to throw the ball. He's a guy that really is super active running around with the ball. Does that take, you know, his thumb injury? Does he take a chance running? You know, these players, they get it, and they go, and they just keep playing and try and kind of work their way through things. But yeah, he's going to go out there and try and play Superman for Oklahoma tomorrow afternoon, and you know, Texas has got to be up to the task. Oklahoma is a different team with him at quarterback, and so if they can protect him and he doesn't have to do a lot of running and is able to make some throws, maybe they run the football. You know, Oklahoma's good enough to beat Texas.
Chip Brown joined us back in the two and just set the scene and painted the picture so well. I dang near got goosebumps when he was talking about the atmosphere inside.
It's crazy. It really is.
What is your guys' best, like, rivalry game moment in your life, whether it's as a player, as a fan, as a broadcaster? What was your favorite moment?
Well, man, I mean, growing up in the SEC and, you know, winning games, like, we went to Alabama, like, the Denny Bryant Stadium there, and I mean, it was... Nobody ever wins there. I mean, it's a visiting team, and you go in there, and your expectations are like, you want to believe that's going to be like, today we're going to get it done. And then if you do, it's a great flight home. I've been to a rivalry game, the Florida-Georgia game in Jacksonville.
Oh.
And that's very much like where the Texas OU game is, when the fan base and how it's, you know, how it's kind of split that way. But A lot of those SEC games for me was that way. The Texas A&M game is great. You know, now that everything's back in the SEC the way it is, it's nice to see them playing again on a consistent basis. It's a pretty one-sided rivalry with A&M, you know, kind of getting beat up by Texas, but man, it looks like that A&M's got the squad this year to maybe be in the SEC championship game.
Lucius, any rivalry memories?
Shoot, man, one that sticks with me, probably stick with me forever. One Thanksgiving, we went to Tulsa to visit my dad's side of the family. And my cousin was like, hey, I got these extra tickets to Bedlam.
Yeah.
So I went to Bedlam, and Joseph Randall was just running all over the place. And I fell in love with this running back. I even jumped on my Instagram and was like, Jerry, you need to come pick him up, man.
I remember you talking about that when Randall was ascending.
Yeah, he was a sick boy. I was like, this is the greatest running back I've ever seen in my entire life. I was definitely a prisoner of the moment, but yeah, that'll stick with me forever. That was a great atmosphere out there. It was the tailgates, the barbecues. Yeah. It was great. People were friendly.
Yeah, Dawson, Army-Navy, did you?
Ooh, Army-Navy was great.
See, that's the one to me when I sat there and watched, and you really do get emotional when
the pageantry.
When the both sides march in.
Yeah.
And then they march to their seats. And then the pregame leading up to it. And, like, it's one of these things where you're, like, in the game. And, you know me, I have a history of leaving games early sometimes.
Yeah.
But I stayed around because the whole thing is, the whole idea is make them sing first. That the game comes down to whatever team sings first at the end, lost. So, you know, that's the whole thing. Make them sing first. And that just to see those two branches of our military go at it on the athletic field is crazy. we went one year where it was snowing with a game. It's there's snow and they're both just running the ball. It's very 1944 like with their teams, but man, that's an intense rivalry. It really is.
You can feel that the history in that game.
Oh, absolutely, you can.
More than any other game, and I think that one sort of speaks for itself. I think some of the great basketball rivalries, like Vince Carter hitting that shot against the Spurs to win that playoff game and make you believe a little bit in the very down time for the Mavs. I think that was part of the DeJuan Blair Mavs. It was very late in Dirk's career. But obviously 2011, to have 06 go the way that it did and then to come back in 2011 and play the Heat and sort of, you know, get your revenge on them even though all the players were different was unbelievable.
I tell you, the Houston Texas Rangers series, when the playoffs.
That's getting nasty.
That got really nasty. You really felt the hatred between two cities there. The baseball players, they lived it up with Garcia, the way he was able to play. But the fans at either venue, there was a lot of hatred between those two teams.
Keontez Lewis is questionable after running into that wall, by the way. Pretty good role-playing wide receiver.
Yeah.
Might be good for 500 or 600 yards or something like that, 40, 50 catches, something like that. But I'm just glad that the kid's okay. That was one of the most scary injuries that we've seen in a while.
You kind of wonder why we still have the wall like 2 feet behind the inline there and maybe with no padding.
Yeah, put some pads up or something like that. If you want to have that there, do something, man.
What are we doing? Yeah.
Sponsor that wall with some padding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't believe that so much time has passed without an injury happening like
yeah,
that.
Come on.
You know, and just
you guys got those wagons out there. It's already scary when you make the U-turn. Oh. I'm terrified every time those kids make the turn. I'm like,
did they widen the wheelbase on that schooner? Yeah, that thing that's coming around the corner. That thing tips over
every time.
Some poor gal goes flying out the back. I mean, my gosh, what are we doing?
Junior accountant student.
Who plays better tomorrow, Mateer or Manning?
Well, how compromised is Mateer? You know, that's the question. You know, is he playing as a 65% player, and is Manning only a 65% player himself?
Yeah,
you know, he's got to process faster, and I don't know if Texas is going to be able to fix offensive line problems in 5 days. Man, they're going to have
these guys might just Hulk up though out of pride.
That's
a big spotlight for Manning.
It's
a big spotlight. It's a big stage for Manning, man.
Yeah, that is huge right there.
But Mateer has to overcome health. Arch really has to overcome inexperience.
Himself.
Maybe talent.
He really has to overcome himself. Yeah, he just can't hold the ball. Sark has got to do something to speed him up with some throws and not let him have to hold that ball. Those deep drops and stuff like that. Can't do that. Ball's got to be out quick.
And do the Longhorns have a chance to get their run game going? They got injuries with their running backs who aren't even that good. This OU defense is so dang good. I do think there's a possibility that the intensity of the rivalry forces Arch and some players into performing at a higher level, just because it's kind of like fight or flight is going to kick in.
Yeah, they're really their season is on the line here, you know, because they've got some games coming up too. They got to go to Georgia later on. You've got to find a way to win this one if you're Texas.
But watching Arch play, I don't think he's using his instincts. I don't think he's comfortable enough to really get out there and just play.
Yeah.
It's a guy that even when he's running the ball, I think he's just staring off into the abyss and going fast. And unless you're in the moment and showing the shakes, like, he's not reading defenders.
Yeah.
Right.
He's just like reacting and maybe a little bit nervously running. And
yeah,
you can take a player that's nervous and make him comfortable. He'll be 180 degrees 100%. From where he was.
Yeah, you got to be in the pocket. You got to feel good, man. That's why I was saying that stage might be big. If you can beat that big stage, you're going to win. You're going to feel so good out there that you'll be able to play your game. But if that stage is big, you're going to be overthinking.
Yeah.
You're going to be counting your steps. One, yeah, two, three, four, pass.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Too much fluttery going on.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be confident. You can't be nervous. It'll absolutely chew you up, spit you out. You got to get psyched up, not psyched out. Troy Aikman's big quote in the game about Philly, I misquoted him maybe a little bit earlier.
He's going to come see you about that.
He might, and I would apologize to him.
Yeah.
I'd say that's my bad, Troy. But I think I got it, even though I was, you know, paraphrasing. He said a defeated team, and they were when they came in, and there's been no life to this group really throughout the entire ballgame was his thought. So I think I used the word quit. He called them a defeated team, and that's the way that they walked into this game. It is almost too good to be true, Cowboys fans, that Philly's going to slide back and give you the opportunity to get in. That's why the Cowboys won the division in 2023.
Yeah.
You know, Philadelphia was on fire, and all of a sudden they lose five out of the last six, and you're sitting there getting ready to take on Green Bay. Maybe that whole thing was ill-fated. But the Eagles have scored a total of 14 points in the second half over the last three games. They're wondering about Jalen Hurts quite a bit now. I would love to hear on the Franklin injury attorney text line, or maybe you want to tweet me at Gavin Dawson. Just go ahead and apologize. I don't care if you're an Eagles fan or a Dak hater. I've been telling you consistently for Jalen Hurts' entire career, Dak Prescott is way better, and we're seeing that come to truth right now. Now, I will say this. Dak has the advantage finally. Jalen Hurts had the advantage with the offensive line, with the weapons. Now Dak has equal weapons. The offensive line play is evening out, but the biggest advantage here, Brian, is Dak Prescott's coaching staff compared to Petullo and the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the coaching staff. I think Dak has made Shoddy a really good play caller. I think Williams has made Dak a really good quarterback. I think the offensive line has made Williams and Dak and the play caller really good. So it's kind of everybody's taking a turn at this thing. Their ability to not miss a beat, taking players in and out of the lineup, I think it's one of the most impressive things I've seen from the Cowboys in the last, say, 10 years or so.
But I would say right now Hurts is the third best quarterback of the division, and Dart might track him down too over the next 12, 15 months.
Yeah, when you start to talk about things with Hurts and it's the coverage, I meant to look up how many did the – I wonder if the Giants – and I could get this number for you. How many did the Giants play a lot of zone coverage last night? That seems to be the thing that's given Hurts the problems, making him kind of hold the ball a little bit. We'll see what the Giants did last night. I meant to look that up and didn't do it, but, boy, what a great effort defensively from the Giants.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. There's other news and notes from around the division. We'll go around the NFC East, take a look at some of these other big Week 6 NFL matchups for you. Go ahead and continue to set the scene. We're live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. This should be your spot to watch football games, the UNT game tonight.
Yeah.
So many TVs, and they have sports on all of them.
Yeah.
I love when I walk into the spot and it's got sports on, man. You know, if I go to a place and you advertise in sports and I get there and there's not really sports on the TV, I got to tell you where to turn, I get frustrated.
Yes, especially the local games.
Yeah.
We got to have
Come on, man.
Yeah. Just looking it up real quick for you, Dawson, before we go to break. Zone coverage, 63% last night for the Giants. Hurts was actually 18 of 21 against the zone. It was man, 6 for 12 for 66, a touchdown and an interception.
Ow.
37% of that man coverage seemed to give the Giants or give the Eagles some problems last night.
A little bit of everything giving them problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for making us part of your day. We have the Fan After Dark coming up with Fred and Blake from 7 to 11 here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. And we're back with more sports here. It's the G-Bag Nation Live. Cold beers and cheeseburgers on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless is our broadcast location today. If you see me, cold beer and cheeseburger me, I think is how that would go. Or maybe I'll cold beer and cheeseburger you. But whatever the case, we have some around the NFC East here for you, G-Bag Nation. And there's some interesting news from around the division and some interesting speculation about your Cowboys and when a certain linebacker might be ready to come on back. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Salute to all the Tolos that have joined us out here on location today. Cold beers and cheeseburgers and Euless taking so many pictures, handing out all the flags and the decals that we had. Tomorrow, your next chance, Mansfield Hurtado 10 to 10:30, Fort Worth Hurtado 11:30 to noon. Then the Highland Hotel from 2 to 6 there for our watch party.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be amazing. All right. Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports NFL insider, tweeting this afternoon, DeMarvion Overshown nearing a return to practice. The team expects to open his window later this month with the goal of having him playing by November. Overshown tore his ACL, PCL, MCL last year amid a breakout season, which he had 84 tackles, 5 sacks, a pick, a forced fumble, and all that, and the one defensive touchdown. So that's a you know just more reason to believe DeMarvion Overshown will be back. And you know I was going to ask you this earlier, Brian, but let me ask you this right now. If you're looking at Cowboys defensive positions to acquire, Overshown's going to be a weak side linebacker?
Probably so, yeah.
Okay. So if I'm shopping for linebackers, I don't need a weak side guy, or I would take a weak side guy if he's a good enough playmaker.
No, I would not. I think you need somebody. I think you could look at with James. You could look at Overshown. You need guys. Maris Leafout, give me guys that can run, but you need probably a physical presence. You know, maybe a little bit better of a Mike linebacker, somebody okay. that. You know, if you got guys that can run, you need a little bit more of some thought about how to maybe a strong side linebacker. You're not going to play a whole lot of that. He'll play a little base, but not a whole lot.
So we're shopping kind of. We're open-minded for a strong, but we really want a middle.
We really want a middle linebacker here, yeah.
Okay.
I think
right.
so, too.
Well, I'm shopping my balls off. I really am. All day long, I'm out here looking for any signs that, you know, a team that's struggling, loses another game, and has quality players that fit the description.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
I was encouraged by Stephen Jones, you know, telling us that, hey, listen, we'll if the deal's right, we'll go.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking that maybe that they would sit there and wait and see how this thing really played out. But with the Eagles losing last night, maybe the Eagles in some trouble. You got the Commanders next week. Find a way to win that. this thing might be shaping up for you to in fact, go get somebody right now instead of waiting to see how this thing's going to play.
When Steven told me that, I kind of looked at it like they're in general team-building mode.
Yeah.
Is there a chance to get a George Pickens of the defense that a team is making available? Or, you know, maybe even more than that, my vibes were kind of telling me that both Jerry and Steven are in sell and belief mode.
Yeah,
because
I really did.
They have this small window of time to, I think, get tickets sold and to build hype and anticipation. And right now you're at 2-2-1. Are you still going to be above 500 Sunday afternoon? I believe so, but you can't guarantee it. Then Washington and Denver, and you might be back up below 500 by the time we get to midseason. And I just feel like they're taking the opportunity to try to build some belief and momentum for this football team publicly. Okay, what A.J. Brown had to say following last night's Philly loss to New York. You guys see this cut? You hear this cut? He did have 6 catches on 9 targets for 80 yards, including a 30-yarder. It wasn't a horrible game, but reporters were looking to chat with him post game, and here's what he went with.
What was behind that?
I don't recall the meeting.
Oh, okay. The meeting never happened.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those guys said it did happen.
Oh, you need to talk to them.
You weren't in the meeting.
I don't recall.
Or you don't want to just talk.
I don't recall.
Going with the Ronald Reagan.
I don't recall.
Information's there.
Sorry.
Now he did tweet today. He said, to be clear, that wasn't a meeting or a sit-down. I said I don't recall because it got painted like there was tension and Saquon had to step in, and that's just not true. I was walking to my car and saw them and stopped to talk and nothing more. I think I have sympathy for A.J. Brown because he has said a little bit of stuff kind of to make it about him, but not nearly as bad as the media attention on this. And I thought last year he was a big part of the team coming together. You know, when you look behind the scenes, like, A.J. Brown is a very thoughtful guy, and maybe he's a little, I don't know, stubborn or trolly. I think for sure he doesn't like or trust the media. That's why he didn't talk to the media last week after the game, and then he didn't appreciate how the media was sort of framing the idea of the meeting. So I think he just kind of went with, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's kind of had, like, to me, more of a I'm here so I don't get fined vibe.
Right.
Then, you know, I'm trying to be a problem, but there's no doubt the signs of struggle are there in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a team 4-1 or now 4-2 with as much angst or heat around the media coverage right now as they're getting. The expectations are through the roof. Eagles fans thought they were in for a victory lap back into the playoffs and being the favorite, and now that's collapsing, and the fans and media just not handling that well.
No, there's some games. Let's be honest. Could have very easily lost the game against Dallas opening night. They could have very well lost the game against, against the Rams. That one.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that, you know, is kind of right now is not very cohesive. They've got a lot of star players. You know, it seems to be when they lose some key players like their defensive tackle, you know, they struggle to play some run defense. I mean, they're a team that's kind of a, I wouldn't call them fragile, but
emotional.
Very emotional and very
prone to swings.
Yeah, they get very much like they're kind of that struggle. Where's the
emotion of their coach?
Well, yeah. Where's the mental toughness with this? You know, where's the
attitude fight? Reflects
yeah,
leadership?
Yeah, where's the fight through it and all that? So you know, you got a head
they're
coach.
Front runners.
Yeah, you got a head coach. It's always a kind of a chip on the shoulder guy, or he acts like he's a chip on the shoulder guy.
Yeah.
When in reality, he's probably a very sensitive guy himself.
Do you think any of this is maybe a little bit like Russell Wilson, where?
But they did win the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
so. And I mean, every time you say something negative, or I do,
uh-huh.
I do think about them having a parade down Broad Street last year.
Yeah, won 3 of them, or been to 3 of them, won yeah. 2 of them over the yeah. last 8 years. Yeah. I mean, model franchise in a lot of ways. You hate to see it, but you got to give them their props
for
being as good as they have. But just for the right now, it does remind me of the Seahawks situation with Russell Wilson, where you had Marshawn Lynch and some of the offensive guys like thinking, why are we letting Russ cook? We need to run the ball more. And then the defenders, you know, maybe not appreciating Russell Wilson's personality. Jalen Hurts' personality is very professional and stoic. And, I think a lot of times when you win big, the great players resent how much credit a quarterback gets,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's a quarterback that I think in both situations, was not necessarily a bus driver, but maybe not the best player on that side of the ball. Okay, another angle now is how bad is Quinyon Mitchell's hammy? And how much trouble could that be for the Vikings or the Eagles against the Vikings with Jefferson and Addison coming up in 9 days? They'll be looking at Keeley Ringo and Adoree Jackson against the best wide receiver combination in the game.
Yeah, we talked about Adoree Jackson and the problems that he had even in opening day. That was where it was going. Stay away from Cooper DeJean, stay away from Mitchell, and now you've got two corners out there. Can they, the one thing to Philadelphia, can they find ways to get some pass rush too? Is going to be a real trick for them, because if they're playing with a compromised secondary, the Vikings are going to clearly go after that.
Okay, I want to look at Washington here real quick for you as well. They're going to take on the Bears in Monday Night Football. I don't think Chicago's going to have success like they did against the Cowboys, so I guess we can hope. But I think Washington's moving to 4-2. They're getting Sam Cosmi back. He says if he does not play in this game, he will play next week against the Cowboys. He's back from an ACL. I think that's going to be a 10-month recovery. But one of the stories in Washington I was telling you earlier, Brian, is how much better their line of scrimmage play has been. And their run defense has actually become legit. Joe Witt, the former Cowboys defensive line coach, telling reporters this week they've adjusted the techniques they're using to be more gap sound, and it is paying off. And Daron Payne has been absolutely unmovable. Kinlaw has been good as well. And he's making it very difficult. We have a s'more station
s'mores,
here.
Bro.
Yeah, how about
I thought I smelled fire. I thought something was on fire, and sure enough, look at that. They got a little fire pit there.
Yeah, they do.
Where you can make your own s'mores there, cold beers and cheeseburgers here in Euless. Come get you something delicious to eat, drink, and some dirt on top of that, some dessert.
Yeah, Dawson, where the Commanders have had some problems is when they don't get pressure.
Yeah.
Their defense is ranked 29th in the league.
When
they don't get pressure, so they're near the bottom. When you block their front, they're struggling right now. But when you get pressure, they're fifth best in the league. So really, how they play defensively hinges on pressure. So if they get up against some teams that can block that front, and they don't get pressure, they're a bottom of the league defense. They do get guys home, they're top five on you. So that's a big swing for something to keep an eye on.
You know, I know Dorrance Armstrong's become a really good player, but I don't think it's anything to fear with Frankie Louvu, Dorrance Armstrong, some other guys who are just trying to chip in a couple of sacks here and there, but that should be a manageable situation for this Cowboys defense. Kinlaw, Preston Smith, okay, they brought him back. Bobby Wagner, Von Miller. I'm not sure how Von Miller's doing, but we'll get familiar with that going into that Week 7 matchup for your Cowboys. Red River question of the segment. Salute to you, sir. Thanks for tolling and making us part of your day, joining us here in Euless. Is Oklahoma back to national relevancy already, Brian? Did it snap in?
Wow, I'll tell you what. My guy Jim Nagy, who ran the Senior Bowl, is now the general manager of the Oklahoma Sooners, and they look like they've done a much better job. Heck, my guy Mike Lombardi in North Carolina, that's been an absolute disaster. And then you look at what's happening in Oklahoma. Jim Nagy's done a really nice job over there, with their NIL money, with their roster, the way they've kind of got things constructed. Brent Venables took a lot of heat. There was talk about his job, and was he really the right man for the job? There's such a great history of coaches there. Luce's favorite guy, Barry Switzer. Heck, you could go all the way back. Chuck Fairbanks, Bud Wilkes, you go all the way back. They've had a great history of coaches there, and the question was this really the right guy for the job? But it looks like they've got their roster the right way. It looks like they finally found this is an organization, I say, finally found a quarterback. They've had Heisman-type quarterbacks there before. But, man, they've got things rolling the right direction with their young offensive coordinator and the way that they've done things there.
Yeah, it's fun to see. It's fun to see that resurgence. I wouldn't know how the trip to the SEC and changing coaches and everything would play there. And after the last couple of seasons, I've thought, man, you need to get off the deck. And then you wonder about the economy of Oklahoma, if they got the big money, sponsors to kick in the NIL cash. But they've done a hell of a job putting together a team this year. And I think if Mateer does play well, they're going to win that game. But my official prediction is Mateer's hand's going to cost them. The managers of the DART trains, reeling from two shootings at stations in the last week or so around North Texas, they say they've been preparing for this.
A really sad one, too, man. Yeah. Paul Melvin's, the guy from Paul Melvin's got popped.
Unbelievable. On his birthday.
Yes.
On his dang birthday.
Sad, bro.
And then a guy with a Jason mask and an AK-47 shot a person.
That is scary.
Yeah, that's a real-life horror movie right there. So DART says they've been preparing, and they want riders to feel assured. Quote, you'll see transit security officers, you'll see DART Police Department officers, and you'll see fare enforcement officers out and about. If you have a question, please stop and ask. I've just felt like that's one of those situations where you avoid at all costs because you don't know, what you're dealing with. And you're trapped in an enclosure. You know, there's no way to get out of
there. I've taken the train to downtown Fort Worth a lot. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not as packed, but this weekend it's going to be hella packed. I've done it before. I've taken the train, the DART train to Cotton Bowl before, and it took longer than you expected.
Yeah.
So you got to, like, really plan it out. You just can't say, hey, we're going to show up, and an hour later we'll be there. It's not going to be like that, brother.
I've taken the train, like the real train, from Dallas to Fort Worth to the Stockyards.
Yeah.
There's a train that goes
TRE or something like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. That thing is actually pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Had a couple of good train rides in my life from San Diego to Santa Barbara.
Was
that
it Amtrak?
Was picturesque. Yes.
I love Amtrak.
Yeah. Oh, it was
Amtrak
so good.
Is fun, bro.
It was fantastic. I've ridden Portland to Seattle. When I grew up in Portland, and they had this like light rail thing that goes through downtown. And the first time I went down there as a kid to ride it, I'll never forget my mom's my best friend's mom said, "Don't make eye contact with anybody." She grew up in Chicago, and she was convinced that she had like the recipe for dealing with, the mean streets or whatever. So me and my buddy are getting on there just like staring down at the ground, and after about 30 minutes or so, we're figuring it out and socializing with everybody. But she did have us. She had us. Scared senseless.
Early,
okay, we're underway.
Yeah, early turnover for South Florida, North Texas. South Florida driving and then able to get some pressure. They recover the fumble. So about midfield, the Mean Green going to get a football.
Okay, we'll step aside. We'll get ready for the Fan After Dark. And they're coming up from 7 to 11. We'll hand off the broadcast baton to them, find out what they have working on for their show coming up tonight. Live cold beers and cheeseburgers. And we're back here with you with more sports on 105.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Kevin. Nice job in today for Lucius Alexander, who has joined us on location here live at Cold Beers, Cheeseburgers, and Euless. You got a touchdown. Mestemaker has gone in from two, and the Mean Green leading 7-0 over South Florida here just up the road. So congrats to them. They got a turnover about midfield and drove in for the first touchdown of the game. They lead South Florida 7-0 with 8:42 to go. Next chance to get a 2025 G-Bag Nation flag, the greatest flag ever, is tomorrow. Mansfield Hurtado 10 to 10:30, Fort Worth Hurtado 11:30 to noon, and the Highland Hotel 2 to 6 for our Red River pool party, watch party, as the Fan After Dark joins us now here. And a good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
I'm feeling fired up. Just saw a UNT tutty, Drew Mestemaker, and there's a lot of UNT love here at the station right now, so we represent well. I know our Nosebleed Brothers are at the wedding right now, so they can't represent for the Mean Green, but you betcha that we'll hold it down on Fan After Dark tonight doing that.
I'll tell you what, no, I saw Wolchuk. He was jumping up and down in the end zone there. Like, he almost went onto the field.
Is he at the game?
He's not at this wedding. It's him and Chief are out there watching their school play.
That's what I was saying. that I think Wolchek might actually be at the game.
And you might be asking yourself, is that Fred Davis? No, it's not. Fred Davis is in Kansas.
<Fred's kid>.
Fred Davis is in Kansas right now watching his son. It's senior night, so he's out of commission for tonight's show. So we went to the pen, called one of our heavy relievers. We got Fan University's own Brennan Baxter with us today. So a little college football taste. It'll be a nice, fun show tonight.
Looking forward to it, man.
Looking forward to that. I was going to clarify to Fred a conversation we had last night. Brian confirmed Revel is going to play. Did you guys get that update in your show last night?
We did get that update that Fred's sources were off. And to trust Brian brought us. But, you know, we got a lot more injury updates. We talked about Overshown the last couple days. We got some positive news from Jordan Schultz and then even kind of reading in between the lines of some of the press conferences. So I feel better about Overshown, feeling good about Revel now that Brian shut down that scuttlebutt.
You never know, man. My guy could be way off.
I think scuttlebutt is giving a little too much credit. I think Davis's sources are you know, reckless and speculation.
I will pass that along gladly.
What do you guys have planned for the show tonight?
Jam-packed. The Dallas Mavericks are doing their fan jam tonight. Game 2 of the preseason is tomorrow. So we'll kind of preview that, some guys that we're looking for. Talk about that Eagles and Giants game and what it means for the Cowboys. All the injury reports that we were referring to and kind of some of the positive news. And then I got Brennan here. Why not do a little college football preview for tomorrow?
You should.
Big you weekend tomorrow. Should. You know, steal his Fan University brain and give a little college football love. And then the ESPN surveys that came out, I want to dive deep into those when it comes to the NBA and what ESPN GMs and what people around the league think about different players and coaches.
Do you think Fred Davis is going to be hate watching the Mariners this weekend for what they did to his Astros?
I would assume so. I take him as a hate watcher. Anything that can bring him happiness, I think he will be a part of. So if I were him, I would be hate watching. Yeah,
I know a lot of Rangers fans are.
Absolutely.
You know, this has not gone well in Seattle over the last couple of years. Any Mavs preseason on your radar on such a big football weekend? Can you squeeze it in?
Oh, 100%. This is what the bandwidth is for. This is why I said October is the best month of all the sports. You get such a good mix. I mean, we got the WNBA Finals today. We could have the Aces taking it home. Nobody's talking about it. That's how much sports is going on right now. I will say, though, you two gentlemen, like the person I should be asking. I need to get myself a hand on one of those G-bag flags, you know.
Oh,
been
you
here
do.
2 years. Yeah. No G-bag flag. Everyone else gets one. I need one in the crib.
That's iconic. We'll make sure you get one, Blake. Have a great night, guys.
Yes, sir.
Fan After Dark 7 to 11. Thanks so much to Kevin Walker. Did a really outstanding job today filling in for Lucius. Was that five flawless? Did he notice
I believe so.
In there?
It was fly,
yeah,
five.
Yeah.
Very communicative, too. He wants to talk to you. Make sure he's doing the right thing.
Right on, Kev.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. Communication perfect, 10 out of 10. Board work, 10 out of 10. Nice job for K-Dub. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, who joined us here on location at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers and Ulysses and Brian brought us. Until Monday at 2, I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the G-Back Nation. Natties.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.